and welcome to the Sikkim Sportscast. I'm Steve Cook, here with your editor and publisher, Kevin Longquist.
How are you, Steven?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. The Baylor Bears are 7-0, which is where they want to be, but they are without their starting quarterback, which is not where they want to be. Let's do a quick rundown of the quarterback situation. Kevin, you want to start us off?
You know, Seth Russell, after the game against Iowa State, it was shown that there was a break in one of the bones in his neck from a CT and an X-ray scan. He went to go see a specialist on Monday. Surgery has been recommended. He's out for the balance of the 2015 season. Surgery date has not been identified yet. Regardless, he's out for what would be believed to be a term of 6 months. So the offense now belongs to true freshman Jared Stidham, the rising top-rated prospect out of Stephenville. It's obviously not the news that Baylor wanted. I think the Baylor coaching staff and everyone connected with the program had a sense that this was going to happen this way. I'm sure there was probably a percentage of those who were hoping that maybe he'll be out for a couple of weeks and that he can return. But, you know, Stephen, when we're talking about neck injuries, you know, there's just never going to be a really good prognosis with those in terms of a short recovery time, typically speaking, just because there's not a lot of protection around that area. And it's an unfortunate set of circumstances because this is arguably, well, not even arguably, the best team that Baylor football has ever fielded. It hasn't changed their goals in terms of pursuing a Big 12 championship and obviously staying in contention for the national championship picture. They're just going to have to go about it a different way as they groom Jared Stidham into this role. The good news for them, this isn't a case where, you know, this injury happens and they only have about 4 days to get ready for the next game. They get a bye week this week, so they have some more time so they can work with Stidham as they're getting ready for November 5th when they travel to Kansas State.
And right now, on their roster, they have four quarterbacks listed. Seth Russell is one of them. He's a junior. Then you have sophomore Chris Johnson, and then true freshman Jared Stidham and true freshman Zach Benema. So once you get past Johnson, or once you get past Seth, you're looking at some pretty young guys. Jarrett has obviously performed the best. They've actually moved Chris to wide receiver. They've moved him back to quarterback. I have seen Benema a little bit in the summer drills, but not enough to really know anything about him. But obviously they don't think he's ready since they've bumped Chris back into the quarterback slot.
Yeah, and he's also a walk-on, too. I don't think that's changed at all. So, but he'll probably be the three. If you have an emergency quarterback situation, I would suspect, and we're only suspecting here, I would suspect that maybe that candidate could be Lynx Hawthorne, because he played quarterback at Refugio before he came to Baylor a couple of years ago. I mean, that might be the thinking along those lines. But you're right, there's not a lot of experience there. Even though Chris Johnson has been on the campus longer than any of these other quarterbacks, you know, his time has been really less than anybody else just because he's really come in. Backup quarterbacks have already come out of the game. So I know that people don't even want to, you know, shudder to think that, gosh, if Stidham goes down, then where do we go from here? Because then it really changes. Let's just don't worry about that because nothing's happened there. Steven, is that I think this is going to be a case where they're going to nurture him through it. I'm not saying they're going to baby with a lot of short routes and dump offs and things like that. That's not the way Baylor does business with its offense. There is a great supporting cast that's going to be around him with a veteran offensive line that's made 111 starts. You've got three wide receivers that are pretty talented with the Biletnikoff Award candidate in Corey Coleman. Then you've got senior Jay Lee and then Katie Cannon, who has the potential to play lights out whenever he puts it all together. You've got a great running game led by Shaq Linwood. So the elements are there. And I would even venture to say that Jarrett is going to be a game manager. Like, you hear that term a lot in the NFL where the guy just, where they're asking to just manage the game, don't lose it, that sort of thing. I don't think they're going to be asking him that. Now, they might just start off with, and then as he starts to become more and more comfortable, you could see deep shots. For all we know, first play from scrimmage in Manhattan could be deep of 65 yards to Corey Coleman. Who knows? But I think this is a case where they're going to be very careful in getting him ready, so that he'll be emotionally ready to go physically he's really ready to go, and just making sure that everything is set up in place, and then how he reacts to the way Kansas State's going to blitz him or bring a corner off the edge or things like that. Those are things that he's just going to have to fight through and learn to deal with as he goes through this, because he's being thrown right into it. There's no hiding it. He's being thrown right into it.
Yeah, and Baylor cannot become one-dimensional and become – they can become a run-first team. They can't become a run-only team. The second you get one-dimensional, teams start concentrating on shutting down that one dimension, and they can do it.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, it's kind of like what West Virginia tried to do, where they loaded up the box with their stack, their 3-3-5, and they concentrated on taking Shaq Leonard away. And then it obviously, at that point, Seth was kind of bouncing things off to the outside of the zone read. But, you know, this is a run-first offense from the standpoint, from a percentage standpoint, because Baylor's offense is predicated on how effective its running game is. So if, with a quarterback like Jarrett, these teams are going to test Baylor. They're going to probably stack the line. I could see them putting 8-9 in the box, probably 8. You know, doubling down on stopping Linwood or Chapin or whoever's in the backfield, and really forcing Stidham to make decisions when maybe he doesn't want to. You know, that sort of thing. And just daring him to beat them. I think that's what you're going to see early, just to see how he handles it. And if he handles those tests fine, then obviously they're going to have to rethink how they want to go about it. But I could absolutely foresee, starting with Kansas State and then moving to Oklahoma and then on down the line, that teams are going to really be intent on taking away the running game and forcing the youngster to try and beat them.
Well, I know one thing about Stidham. Unless he changes significantly from what we've seen, he has very high accuracy on the passes he's made. He's not afraid to run, but I think Briles might try to dial that back a little bit on his running. But he'll take a sack before he throws an interception, and that was one of the things that I noticed that was different between him and Russell, was that Stidham is a lot more careful where he places the ball.
Mm-hmm. He's got a great arm. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He can make every throw. In fact, you could say that he probably has the better arm of the two between him and Russell. It's just an experience thing where he just doesn't have the time in the Division I game to really know that. And yeah, the accuracy is crazy. He has more touchdown passes. He's thrown 6 than he has incompletions. He has 4. Mm-hmm. But again, those have come up in some mop. And again, you couldn't do that against air if you wanted to, I don't think, Stephen. But those have come in games where the outcomes were long decided. He's gotten some valuable, at least some game situation reps, so he can kind of get used to the speed of the college game to a certain extent. It just changes, though, when it's the first quarter, there's 15 minutes on the clock, and you got to lead your team down for the first time to try and get points on the board and that sort of thing. Again, I do think this supporting cast is going to help him transition as quickly as possible, hopefully as seamless as possible. But time is only going to be the judge on how well this goes. Obviously, for Baylor's sake, they want it to go as well as it possibly can to keep all their goals in front of them and to keep them realistic.
Well, one of the things that's fortunate for Baylor is that Kansas State is not having a great year right now. They seem to have kind of, you know, they pushed TCU to the limit, but since then they just don't seem to have much fight left in them. And I don't know if that's injuries or what, but they haven't been playing real well. However, this is a Thursday night game away from the friendly confines of McLean Stadium. So that's obviously not where you want your true freshman to make his first start.
No, it's not where you want him, but that's the reality of it. You know, Art Briles talks about reality. Well, this is a lot of reality for Baylor right now. In fact, 3 of these final 5 games are going to be on the road. They're going to go to Manhattan, they're going to go to Stillwater, and they're going to go to TCU. And those, and Stillwater and Fort Worth are back-to-back. So, and this is it. This is the guy. Stidham is the guy who's going to have to do it.
So when we look at this, and for you really feel bad for Seth, the first thing is we're not sure exactly when he got injured. We know that head-to-head hit. We had the picture of it on Sikkim Sports, thanks to Mackie Lynch. Really good shot of that hit. And I'm sure that's when he got the majority of that injury. But I didn't think he looked like himself starting maybe about halfway through the second quarter. He just didn't seem to be putting the ball where he wanted to. And I heard Bryce, and I think that they said Bryce was asking him, where were you looking on one of the passes? You know, and Seth's one of those guys that doesn't really want to admit he's injured. It's kind of like, you know, after Griffin injured his knee in his, I guess, sophomore year, he injured his knee and he didn't tell anybody. And, you know, he was over there. I saw him in the exercise bike after he tore his knee trying to loosen up. And so that's just something that football players do. They don't want to admit they're injured. So I don't know if he was injured before, but if he wasn't, that hit that he got helmet to helmet could have definitely done it to him.
Yeah, I was going to say that's the hit that probably finished it. I mean, it's hard to say, and there's been so much speculation as to when exactly this all started. I know there were some deep balls that's normally his best ball, that he was way overshooting guys. I don't know if it was the weather or just him having an off day. You know, maybe sometimes we're overthinking things a little bit too on things just because there's so much media, there's so many camera angles, there's so many this and that everyone wants to think that they have the answer when it's pretty much right in front of us. I don't know, mm-hmm. Stephen. I think Baylor has officially said that the injury occurred in the fourth quarter. Well, if that's actually the case, and I have no reason to think that it's not, you know, that's mm-hmm. probably the picture that Matthew took of when it happened. Maybe he was feeling a little bit off. Maybe there were some issues that he had from some previous hits that it started to kind of go there. But I think for sure if that's the hit that did it, it probably finished things off and obviously changed the scope of Baylor's season. You know, really, it's all kind of sweating the details or trying to split hairs as to when it is. The reality is Seth Russell's season is over. Baylor has a new starting quarterback, and they're just going to have to fight through it with Jared Sidham to see where it takes them.
And right now, this looks like, without projecting too far into the future, if this is a six-month recovery, it's getting close to November now. So go November, December, January, February, March, mm-hmm. April. Okay, so that means he's going to miss spring camp.
More than likely.
And so he misses spring camp. Okay, they've got Zach Smith coming in January, right?
Right.
Okay, so Zach Smith out of Grandview. And if Jarrett, let's say that he does play well for the rest of the season, which we certainly hope he does, now the Bears are going to have an interesting dilemma because I really don't see Chris Johnson moving up and taking the second string quarterback spot away from Zach. Now, it's possible. He's a true freshman coming in. But Chris hasn't really shown the deep ball that he hasn't shown the ability that you expect from a Baylor quarterback. So if you have Jarrett, who's going to be a sophomore going into next year, and then you've got a true freshman coming in now, and then Seth misses spring camp, if it ends up being a toss-up between Stidham and Seth, do you want to start a senior over getting your sophomore starter another year of experience?
That's a great dilemma. Of course, we're all speculating down the road here. You know, before I answer that, I think it goes back to me saying before the 2013 and the 2014 season, when Russell was the backup with not a lot of experience behind Bryce Petty, and I can remember writing it or even doing podcasts and saying Baylor is a Bryce Petty injury away from having its season go upside down on it. Well, that theory is true, but we're only 2 years removed from that, where Seth is now out, and now you've got Stidham in there. And as far as the recovery time for Seth, Baylor usually likes to start its spring practices early. Now, this year in 2015, they started in late February and got it done in early April. If they think that Seth is recovering to the point where he could come back and maybe participate on a small base, because even if he was clear, let's just say that Seth was cleared in 4 months, so that would be he was cleared at the end of February or whatever. Okay, if mm-hmm. that happens and you start spring, how much do you really want to put him through it when he's coming back from an injury as difficult as this is? And I could see them, you know, making the work for Seth a little bit, you know, lighten his load, if you will. It would be limited in what he would do. Where that could help, that could benefit Zach Smith, because I talked to Zach earlier, and we'll have a story on him here fairly soon, about what this is going to mean for him, because there's obviously a ripple effect where it's going to impact him, because he's coming in January. He could see a lot of reps. He's talked about that, about the opportunity of what it could mean for him, because let's just say that worst case scenario, Seth can't play football anymore because the neck isn't recovering or whatever, or he's just not going to be the same that Eddie is, as he ever was. Heaven forbid that's the case. But if that's the case, then you have Stidham as your starter, and then you're kind of in the same scenario of 2016 as you were in 2015, a guy with not a lot of starts with some experience backed up by a guy that has no starts and no experience. Whereas this year we had Seth Russell and Jarrett Stidham. You could have 2016 with Jarrett Stidham and Zach Smith. There's a big benefit, though, for Zach coming in January because he gets into the weight training program. He gets with Kaz Kazadi to understand what is going to be asked of him. You know, he's a little bigger than Jared, too. He's about 6'4", 215. He could probably go to play 225, 240, theoretically speaking, if that was the case. There's a lot of things that's what we're talking about. It's not the story that you see from what happened today. It's the other stories that are going to be impacted because of what happened this weekend.
You know, and also we're operating on the premise that Seth's going to be able to come back and play again. This is a broken neck. This is not a small thing. There are careers that are ended on that completely.
Exactly. That's why I just look back and say, oh, this will be 6 months and he's back. I don't look at it that way. I look at it and say, you just take it, even with back injuries, you just take it day to day and see how it progresses and see how he recovers and that sort of thing. First and foremost for Seth Russell, I want him to have a healthy life. That comes before anything else. And so that means if there were to ever come a time, or even if he recovers fully, but yet there's some sort of, you know, moment, epiphany moment for him where he says, you know what, this just isn't worth it anymore, and he gives it. I wouldn't blame him the single bit. Now, the competitor in him will probably not allow that to happen, but there could be that moment where he just says, I've got 60 years in front of me, God help, God willing, and I want to make the most of those fully functional. I could absolutely see that. I mean, I've seen other guys. Look, we saw it with the San Francisco 49ers with several players, including the first-round draft choice, with concussions where they just said, I'm done, I'm not doing this anymore, and they walked away from the game. Good for them. You know, and I would not blame Seth at all. Your health is the most important thing that you have outside of your family, and that needs to be taken into account above anything else. If he comes back and plays football and is effective for Baylor in future years, wonderful. But let's just make sure that Seth Russell, the person, is as healthy as he possibly can be.
You remember year before last, Troy Baker, he blew his knee out, and he came back, and he was all up, and then blows his knee out again. Obviously, this is a more serious injury than a blown knee, but when I talked to Troy about it, he was like, the toughest part of coming back was not the physical part, it was the mental part of trusting your leg again.
Yeah.
With Seth, there is the physical aspect of it, but there's also the mental aspect of it. Kevin, I've been a firefighter for years, and one of the reasons you can go into burning buildings is because you always convince yourself, yeah, it happens to somebody else, but it's not going to happen to me. But once it happens to you, you can't kid yourself anymore. You know it can happen to you on any play.
Right. And that's just kind of the way it is, where it's kind of like, do you trust your body well enough to know that it's going to respond like it has responded in the past when you go through such a debilitating or just a crushing injury like this? And, you know, only time will tell. I know I've used that expression before, but time will tell, number one, how Seth will recuperate from this and if football will still be a part of his future. I hope it does, but we'll just have to wait and see. And then time will tell, you know, for Baylor's 2015 season, how everything comes together behind Jarrett Stidham. Obviously, this season became a lot more interesting, and you're right. They got through these first 2 months exactly where they wanted to be. We all thought they would be 7-0. They are 7-0. They've won pretty convincingly just about against everyone. They were a little bit choppy against Iowa State, especially in the second half, but they finished that off. And now we've said this is a 5-game season for them starting on November 5th at Kansas State. And that's where this program is really going to find out where it's at competing for everything that it wants to compete for.
I think Baylor has like the first or second toughest schedule remaining of any college football team.
Yeah, and so, then we don't have to worry about this. And then we won't have to worry about the playoff committee and whether or not Baylor is getting slotted or not. That won't happen anymore, I promise you. So,
no, we worry about the we don't have to worry about style points this year. If they win, they're in.
Right.
But anyway, we'll figure out, since Baylor has an off week this week, we'll discuss what we're going to do on our second half podcast, but this is our wrap-up, and we're sorry, guys, that we didn't really spend much time talking about Iowa State, but we felt like this issue with Seth was bigger than the game.
No doubt.
Okay, so we'll catch you on our late week edition of the Sikkim Sportscast a little later on this week, and y'all take care.